and welcome to episode 266 of the Awesome Comics Podcast, the place where the small press makes one hell of a big noise. I'm Vince Hunt, writer of MI666, and joining me this week, the creator of Vanguard and time traveller, Dan Butcher.
Hello. Am I a time traveller?
Because sometimes your signal sounds like you're in a different...
Yeah. And you got no shirt on.
Yeah. Don't have a shirt. Well, that's because he's part-time Rambo. But that's another thing.
A common feature of time travellers.
Oh, yeah. A shirtless time traveller. There's a book there somewhere. And it would probably be written by the blue beard of comics, Tony Esmond.
I have got a big beard at the moment. I'm growing a beard.
Blue beard. Oh, not big beard.
Did he like sleep with a lot of women and kill them or something?
Is that what he did? He was a fairy tale character, wasn't he?
Yeah, I know. There's more to it than just being a fairy tale character. Don't be prejudiced towards fairy tale characters.
I mean, you're a fairy tale character.
That is true.
I mean, more like Rumpelstiltskin. Anyway, I was going to... I was going to say...
Foreskin.
Oh. Oh, you've got guests, shush.
And all of a sudden, the tone has dropped, and it's because of our guests. I was going to call Tony the Blackbeard of comics, which seemed to be in keeping with what we're going to talk about this week, because we're joined by not one, but two guests, both veterans of the indie comic publishing game in the UK. And we'll talk about their individual work, as well as one particular book that everyone's probably going to be aware of by now. And if they're not, they will be after this show. They're the writer and artist of the upcoming graphic novel Knights vs. Pirates. It's Jay Martin and Chris Imber. Hello, James.
Hello.
How's it going? Was there an argument over which name should come first, Knights or Pirates? Was it a discussion you had? Or
No. I think it's from the outset, it was pretty much decided that Knights are better.
Did you think I will include something else? Yeah, you know, like roundheads or something like that. Was it going to be a three-player?
We thought, there was.
Roundheads have never come. Right. Like you have like knights, you have pirates, you have ninjas, you have I don't know all these other things. No one's ever said. But what about roundheads?
What about cavaliers?
It's because you're stuck in the past.
Yeah.
It's new retro.
His internet for something makes him sound a little bit like Father Christmas when he laughs.
We think we've probably opened ourselves up, let's say, to lots of people coming up to us and saying, next you should do.
Yes.
Yeah, definitely. Yes. And you'll get a lot of that on this show. And we'll get into that soon enough, as well as how the whole project came to be, and just indie comics in general, because all of us here, Chris has been on a few times before, so we're not going to be nice to him, but it's Jay's first time. Being on the show, I mean, we've been mates with Jay for quite some time, so so now we're going to destroy him all in the name of entertainment.
Oh, guys, can't wait.
But you know what is less about destroying things, it's just more about promoting
that's a terrible one.
I painted myself into a corner.
is it comic house, Vince?
It is indeed. Who are they, Tony?
This is a bit Dan does. I haven't got it written down. They're the indie marketplace for small press comics.
You shouldn't need it written down. I don't really have a script. We're just making this up as we go along.
They're like Netflix for comics. What's new on Comic House, Dan?
No. This is why.
Where's he gone? He's gone.
Dan's internet is dropping in. He's almost like a third guest this week because his internet's a little bit wobbly. So he might be back here. Oh, there he is! Hey, where is he? It's like Where's Wally, but like in audio format. This is going to be exciting.
What's on Comic House, Dan?
a myriad of great titles, including Autism Anxiety Volume 1, Issue 2 by Sam Webster, Camp VA07 by James McCulloch, Gimp City 1, one for you there, Island, Paper Volume 1, Issue 2, and The Wrong Girl. All available on Comic House.
They are indeed. And I'll let you have that one, Dan. Yes, they're all available on the Comic House app, which we love. Comic House have a website where if you've got hard copies of your book, you can put them on there and start selling straight away. But the app's absolutely brilliant. It's just another avenue to get your digital work out there. In this time where, I don't know, I think some people can't get out and about to their local comic book shop. And even when they do... Is that comic book shop going to have your indie title? Who knows? But they can get access to it straight away on the Comic House app. So it's only £3 a month subscription service. You get a 14-day free trial. You can find out more about it. And it's available on like Android and Apple and everything, isn't it? I've never really talked about it before, but it is widely available. That's what's got it. It's available on like Kindle and things like that as well. So yeah, look for the Comic House app and go to comichouse.com to find out more about the just everything. But indie comics, because there's lots of the books that we talk about on this show have actually appeared on it and they're still there. As well as the shit that we do. No, right. Well, I say shit. Vanguard's on. That's really good. And Tony's
Vanguard's
books
back to the top 10 again.
Vanguard.
Yeah, it keeps creeping back up.
It's an eternal top 10 book, isn't it, really, Vanguard?
It is, yeah.
It's when I could be bothered to keep clicking on it.
Someone had to go there. I was waiting for one of you guys to do it.
That doesn't work anymore on the site. That has been improved.
Yeah. So, and every click will actually support the indie creator as well. So, and that's what you want. So, anyway, talking about indie creators and successful creators, we got a couple of them. We couldn't find any of them, so we invited Chris up. Now, they are actually just flying. They just recently, fresh off their Kickstarter launch and then 24-hour success, with the long awaited book Knights vs. Pirates. Now, a lot of people out there will know that this book has been they've been seeing artwork and they've been aware of it for a while, and it's a one and done graphic novel, which we've all been hugely excited to see more of. So the success was a given, but we want to know how this all came to be, and you know, just the name alone or the controversial topics of, you know, why aren't there round heads in the tile?
That's our most frequently asked question.
you need one of them on the site.
Yeah.
I think you first told me about it when, I'm going to say it when we were at one of Sidesy's barbecues. I think that's when I first heard about it.
Weirdly enough, that was shortly after it had been developed.
Right, okay.
But how did it start, though, to go from, like, you know, the development begin?
Jay, do you want to?
Yeah, can do. It's all Chris Ember's fault. So if it turns out to be terrible, you know where to go. Basically, it was a tweet that Chris put up one day that was exactly what he says on the tin. I really want to draw knights, or I really want to draw pirates, or maybe knights versus pirates. And then it kind of spiraled out of control from there and sucked up 2 years of his life.
I got a Facebook message about 5 minutes later saying I want to write this.
Yeah.
Ah, cool.
Yeah.
You guys have like taken a different approach in the fact that rather than put out issue by issue, you've done the whole book as a trade. What was the kind of reasoning behind that?
It just kind of felt like one story, really.
Okay.
Is that a change in the market, do you think? Because it's more. And it's an easier sell to bookshops, for example, isn't it? If that's where you want to go with it.
It's a lot of things. It's coming from the reckless point of view, because I know Jay's done quite a few where he's done like anthologies and things like All Together.
Yeah.
But we had like obviously Operation Boom, Last Sheriff, and they were supposed to be like Operation Boom's a mini series. Last Sheriff was an ongoing title. And it's frustrating, you know, for the reader as much as anything else. Because they read something that's taken you maybe 3-4 months to do, and then you put it out and they come back to you of day two of the con and just go, I love it, when's the next one?
Yeah.
And we were finding from day one, you know, we were so proud when we did the first Last Sheriff issue all those years ago, that people were coming up to us and saying, I only collect trades. So I'll only do it when it's a trade. So let us know when it's a trade and I'll buy it. So that kind of just sinks into your head. And I think personally, art-wise, I wanted to challenge myself to do something where I don't sit down and do it over a few years. I just get it all done in one block.
It makes sense, man. And when you think about the sort of the marketplace for graphic novels, even more important, more popular than trades, is really out there now. It's the time for it. It really is, I think. Yeah.
I think, you know, and when we had the fixed idea, it was really weird actually, because Jay talked about like the tweet and how then he said I want to write it, and I think it was probably in its crudest form, what would you reckon, mate, about 30 minutes after that?
Yeah,
it was just done a game of tennis.
Yeah, right. It was kind of bonkers, wasn't it? So we got, like, I think it might have been the same evening that you did that tweet, wasn't it? We got on Facebook Messenger and just kind of went, well, if we did this, then this guy could be in it, and then we could get him there doing that, and then the other guy would go, yeah, and if he did that, then this. And it just kind of went like that. The whole story basically wrote itself over the space of about 10, 15 minutes.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it was incredible. And then we just went from there. There was a bit, originally I did the script and we didn't know whether Chris was going to have enough time to do with the art or not.
Right.
So the original idea was that I was going to find an artist, get the book drawn up, but then I was going to get Chris to come in and do like the cover and to do a couple of like amazing splash pages to go into the book and stuff. But then obviously trying to find an artist that can keep up with Chris, not to kiss his ass too much, but
And stylistically, that could have been a problem, couldn't it?
Yes, you know, exactly right. Yeah, styles, dragging yeah. right out of it. Yeah,
I don't like handing stuff over either. I really don't. I think Davy Tinto, who does The Last Sheriff, does a phenomenal job of the Last Sheriff books now. And I think Brian Vander did a genius job of the Operation Boom books. But it always bites me a little bit when I go to a convention and people come and meet you and they talk to you and just go, and it's just a hard explanation. Oh, is this your book? Yeah, it is. What did you do in it? I did the cover of that one. I did the... I just want to say, that's my book.
This is mine, yeah.
But there's in the same wheelhouse as you, those are guys, aren't they? There's a stylistic similarity, I'd say. There's an influence sort of thing. You know,
principles are the same, aren't they?
Yeah.
The book
over-exaggeration.
So you had the start, and like Reckless has a very kinetic and action-orientated sort of ethos. And style, you know, your books, when you get a Reckless Hero book, there's going to be action, there's going to be amazing set pieces, there's going to be, you know, like those great anime cartoons or, you know, the cartoons we used to watch when we were kids in the 80s or whatever. It's just bombastic fun. But this is the first sort of one where you're dealing with more sort of historical type stuff rather than over-exaggerated almost video game like designs of Sheriff and Operation Boom. To go historically into the world of knights and pirates, that must have been a test for both of you, because I'm guessing Jay, did you have to do quite a lot of reading and reference about things that were, you know, because you're mashing these two, because everyone jokes, you know, pirates versus ninjas, that's normally the go-to, isn't it? And you know, it's all well and good for an action scene, but there has to be more to it, doesn't there? There has to be more meat to the bones.
Yeah, that's it. Definitely got to be substance there and stuff. And I did do like a hell of a lot of reading up on it. There is a really good audiobook of Arthurian Legends, which is read by Sean Bean.
Right.
Which is a Busted. Treat for everyone.
Yeah.
Bayek. It's a sword.
Basically.
Sean Bean. Sean, if you're listening, we're massive fans.
Yeah. Hasn't he written a new contract where he can't die in movies anymore? He's literally
spoiled
his bread and butter.
He has to do bread adverts and go on about being a Yorkshireman.
Trying to make up the wage packet again. Yeah. So there was a hell of a lot of reading up, because if you're dealing with characters like that, you do want them to feel quite authentic, if it's like a really nonsense situation like we find ourselves in this book. because it's basically, the premise of the book is Blackbeard is fighting King Arthur and his knights at the Round Table, and King Arthur,
it's that clever.
The thing is, that's one of those things where Hollywood execs would just go, yes, make it.
Thank you. Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Why hasn't anyone done this before?
Well, when I first started thinking about it and stuff, it was kind of a case of, well, if you're going to do knights versus pirates, then do the best knight and do the best pirate. It doesn't really make any sense, especially if you're going to do it like a one and done, like this is probably going to end up being. And then it was, how do you get those two together and how would they interact with one another, and trying to get the personalities right.
Not to give spoilers, but that was the point where my favourite little twist in the story came, when we figured out how to bring them both together.
Yeah.
Was the bit where we were kind of typing to each other and it was like, oh, we need to do this.
Yeah. Ding.
There's a reason to it, rather than just mashing these two genres essentially together. There's actually a narrative reason for things happening.
Yeah, definitely.
The other thing with you guys, this is obviously quite an endeavor, isn't it? It's quite a big project. Have you looked into, I always call it breaking out the bubble of, you know, indie UK comics. So have you approached distributors or book chains or, you know, is there anything you've thought of outside of what we normally do? Because I was thinking the landscape's changed a bit for you guys as well, hasn't it?
I think that is a conversation I could have with you for about 4 hours, I think.
right, okay.
I think early on we talked about, it was the big thing at the time, everybody kind of going for portfolio reviews and whatever, and I just thought, well, I think we had the conversation quite early on. We said, do we pitch this to Image? You know, do we go for it and like back ourselves and pitch it to Image? And then the honest answer that came out of that was, do we back ourselves? Do we back ourselves? Let's just back ourselves. Mm-hmm. And take that off the table. Image is my favorite publishing house. I absolutely adore it. And that Image Revolution, I think I've spoken about that before. I watch that every year now because it's just so inspiring. But the whole message that comes from that, for me, is not Todd McFarlane, Robert Kirkman, sitting there going, and Image Comics, we want it to be there in 20 years, you could be a part of Image. It's the message is that they went out and did things their own way.
Yeah, Kirkman said that a lot, isn't he? You've got to work for Marvel, but you're gonna make your bones by working for yourself.
Yeah.
Which is kind of where he went with it. Yeah, and I agree.
Yeah. And that's exactly what we want to do. We want to back ourselves and not have someone come in and tell us that it'd be better if you changed that. It'd be good if you did this. It'd be, that's always useful. That's always helpful.
But... yeah, I kind of get what you mean there, man. I didn't really mean that. I meant more that, we've all done convention tables. We're all stuck a little bit in that cycle, aren't we, of, getting the books out to the same bunch of people and stuff. But I'm just thinking, with such a big project, have you approached, an indie, as an indie publisher now, I suppose, approached maybe Waterstones or book festivals, or I'm just sort of thinking that.
Funnily enough, I'm going to mention him a lot tonight because I think Jay will agree. He is probably the glue that holds everything together. Is Burbs, really, Chris Jenkins?
Who's he? I love Burbs. He knows I love him.
Some guys with crayons, but we've got an ISBN for this. I think we bought 10 ISBN things. I see that as an avenue forward to try and get it into places. Yeah. Definitely. I think it's the first time we've got a viable product to do that with. Nobody really wants to stock floppy single issues. Even, you've had enough trouble finding a comic shop that wants to do that. But having a graphic novel, it's a door.
Have you considered distributors in the States? I know there's lots of little mini ones now popping up, especially with Diamond becoming, perhaps not as powerful as it has been. You've got people like DCBS, but you've also got a lot of comic shops who are taking on distribution, chains of comic shops sometimes, in the States especially. I mean, it's something me and Falpy talk a lot about. We've got a couple now. He spoke to one last night on Skype, for example, and we've got a couple of things on the... It's worth looking out at. I think the comics industry in this country, as shown by that that thing that came out this week, that study on it, is a limited area, isn't it? It's a limited sales area. And I think the lady who did it, is it Hannah Berry, I think, is it? Is that right?
Yeah, the comics laureate, yeah.
Yeah, she figured out that the study figured out there's like 68 people are making more than 50 grand a year in comics, which ain't many.
Yeah.
So we're never going to be millionaires, but the market is not just here. Well, the market's not here. The market is France. The market is...
yeah,
America. The market is Japan. Yeah. That's where it is. And it just I'm coming from a no-brow point of view. A lot of our money comes from foreign sales, especially France and Belgium.
Yeah, we've started getting like The Sheriff is on its course to being translated into French. I think the first two are done. First three are done. We have noticed a difference when that kind of thing happens. But I'd certainly be up for doing something like that. Hmm. When and where, I don't know.
Yeah, you will get it finished and out the door first, didn't you? I suppose.
What I always love about the Reckless and stuff and the stuff that you guys do is like a lot of some of the UK success stories that we see are not in the genres that a lot of us on this talking on this show are necessarily au fait with. Do you know what I mean? There's some absolutely fantastic sort of biographies of people. There's some fantastic slice of life, dreamlike, almost stuff that's almost like children's books and stuff. But there's also that let's have some kick-ass action. Let's have some larger-than-life.
Yeah, man.
Yeah.
And that is what it says on the tin. I know it's going to be more than that, guys, but it is, you know what you're getting from you guys, and you know what you're getting from that title.
Yeah.
It's going to be fucking fun. Do you know what I mean? It's going to be...
Was that one of the reasons for... Because the title is so... It's no bullshit. It's just... This is...
I've always looked at it as like a serious spoof, because it is like the whole concept of it is kind of ridiculous, but the comic is a serious comic, so it's a serious story set in kind of like a ridiculous premise.
Yeah, which allowed us a lot of freedom. Jay said he did a lot of historical research, and I can vouch for that. He really did. You know, to the point where we actually said at one point that might be a little bit too niche. You know, like you when you do a comic, you want to have little nuances in it where people go, oh, I wonder if that's true. And when they do the research, they go, oh my God, they did their research on this. You know, they know. But there were elements in there, and in his really detailed kind of research, that it's like, wow, at what point do we sink down that hole, and what point do we just kind of make it
fun? The whole first script that I did and that I handed over fit in perfectly with the legends of both of them. So... It was basically like an extra story to go along with the stories that already existed of these major characters, and it wouldn't affect the stories that already exist. And then it was kind of pointed out that it was like, well, nothing really happens if you're going to do that. So I always remember accurate.
People do love that, man. I remember I used to read the Flashman books. You remember those, George MacDonald Fraser's Flashman books? Yeah. And he would fit incidents that were historically accurate, because he met all famous people throughout his battles and stuff, and you could actually prove that they were in that place the day he met them and stuff like that. People go nuts about it, but what the point I'm making of that is that there's a lot of people who love all that sort of Templar knights history and stuff like that, and they will pick a hole in what you're doing if it ain't right sometimes, you know.
I mean, we've had a couple. I've had, you know, one of the pieces of feedback we had from one of the guys who was doing a read through for it was, so you do realize that thing that Arthur's wearing, he wouldn't have worn it. He said it's more likely he would have worn Welsh colours. Oh.
That was so good. That was so good.
What do you do? You just block him more.
Yeah. Well, it's a shame we never heard back from him. Yeah. But that's partly, you know, that's partly my deal. One, because as Jay has found out horribly, I miss important things in the script when I'm drawing them, because I'd sacrifice it for something that I just think would look cooler. I think there's an element to me that's just like the iconic look of a knight. So I kind of went down that path. But
people have to differentiate the entertainment value of something.
Yeah.
You know, I don't watch the classic film Commando and go, well, I don't think that's how a grenade actually works.
You've seen that SAS guy, haven't you?
Yeah. I am him. I can't even
but
spell
like
SAS.
Whole, you said about the title Knights versus Pirates, and said like, how did it come about? That was something I remember on the way to Sides the morning after the barbecue. I remember talking to him and saying, being adamant about it, saying it has to have that title. It's got to stick with that title because it's fun. It's something that's quite intriguing, and it's just simple.
Thought of like having a subtitle? You know how that Knights versus Pirates, you know, the legend of blah blah blah. Was there any idea at one point to do something like that, or was it always just a simple bam?
No, yeah, it's always just been Knights versus Pirates.
You know, it could be Knights versus Pirates, the legend of the bloody treasure, or you know, is that sort of thing, isn't it? But I think you're right to leave it like that, man. I think it doesn't dilute it. I think that's a good thing about it. Yeah,
there was that. We wanted the colours to not be like all old traditional colours. Wanted it to be quite loud, you know, and Burbs colours in that style anyway. Look at like the later Operation Boom books and things. He's got a very, I think, quite a distinct palette that he chooses from.
I mean, the colours he's put on the book are absolutely gorgeous.
Yeah, that page you drew of the knight, is he in a sort of in a boat with the sea around him? I think I saw the other day you put up, man. That was fucking brilliant.
Yeah.
As soon as I hear Knights versus Pirates, I think, right, okay, firstly, Knights wearing armor, how do they get on boats? If there's a fight at sea, is he going to sink? I know all that sort of shit goes on in your head, isn't it? You know, suddenly I like, because I'm a bit OCD, I like to think, who's going to win? How are they going to win? You know, what's the scores there? How are they going to fight? You know, what's that all about? Yeah, definitely. I think it's a really
as we said, I've got that misconception. I had that misconception of Knights, maybe from watching bloody Bill and Ted, you know, when they're kind of clunking around in the armor. And then, like, you see a couple of videos on YouTube in recent years of, like, people doing forward rolls and moving around quite easily in the armor. It's actually quite, well, relatively easy to move around in, not like moving around like a fucking dog.
Dan's about to reveal that he's actually done LARPing. I think we're any minute now.
Yeah, that would have been a proper crap book if they would have turned up, you know, on the ship and just been pushed over.
All of them just moving like Tin Man out of the original.
Well, their armour rusts up because of the salt.
How many pages is this book?
Sequential, I think it's 116.
Oh, nice. I mean, that already is... That's a good chunk of change. That's a book in itself.
A schedule of like how many pages you were going to get done a week.
No, not really. This is another... Well, we think it's a funny story, but we've been in like this weird night pirate bubble for about 2 years. What was the original script, mate? 80 pages?
I think so, yeah. It was just under 90, I think, wasn't it? And then the rewrite came in at something like 96, and then everything else is just your fault.
There are little things that, like, I wanted to either explore more, or I just... When I read... It might have been a panel, and I read that and just thought, oh man, that's got to be a splash page, because that sells the whole thing.
I mean, you've gone a bit mental on the double page spreads as well, Chris. Let's put it bluntly, you've lost your fucking mind.
There's six in the whole book.
Yeah. All right. Okay. Yeah. There's got to be a map as well. There's a map going on, and they tell me there's a map.
There is no map.
Oh, okay.
Oh my God. Right. How do you cancel a pledge?
there's no map because
he's trying to avoid spoilers.
It's not treasure based, I'm guessing. Then
there's hints of that.
Oh, okay, right. I won't guess anymore because they'll give it away. Yeah.
There are hints of that, but I think it's more, we are very much focused on the story of the characters and their kind of deals with each other.
I mean
And the fucking, obviously.
Yeah, well, there's plenty of that.
Six splash pages.
Oh, literally. anyone who's seen Chris's artwork will know that boy can draw a fight, and he loves a fight on pages. Fight. I mean, he'd probably take anyone down because he is a ninja, which is ironic considering the book. and the stuff, I mean, you've got the pyro on display on the Kickstarter and like the stuff you've been showing, you know, all the fights and stuff. Mm-hmm. But knowing that there's 100+ pages, which means there's a lot of story as well, isn't it? You know, how did you find the balance of action and, you know, talking and character development and story and stuff? You know, how did you both collaborate on that?
It's totally something I wanted to do more. Tell more story, and the way I think that's the way I kind of like when I came into it with the 80 pages, I probably added pages of action and things like that I just thought were going to be good fun to draw. Go on, mate.
Yeah, so like it's obviously it's a three act story as per kind of normal for every single book, but the first two acts are the ones that really, really drive the story forward. And then the third act is really the culmination of all the story coming together. So there was plenty of room to like spread out action sequences and then carry the story forward a little bit more and then spread out action sequences. And I think we managed to do quite a good job of it along the way.
Yeah. And I think the other thing is when you buy a book called Knights versus Pirates, you're going to be pretty pissed off if you get to like, of 116 pages, you get to page 100 and they just get to head-to-head, you know. There's many a treat in there.
Yeah, you're dealing with two character sort of genres, you know, we might as well call it that, isn't it? Because that's what it is, that have their fan bases. You have your people who prefer knights, there are people who prefer pirates. I'm not going to put you both on the spot to say what you prefer. because that may be a controversy the likes of which social media wouldn't be able to handle. But how do you, in terms of like storytelling and narrative, go into a, you know, because it's something that I think some creators don't necessarily think of, because if they're creating a versus book, you have to balance it. You can't go in thinking, I mean, Aliens versus Predator, the first films made by someone who likes aliens and doesn't really care about predators, and it's clear.
Oh yeah, that annoyed me. Yeah,
that annoyed really me. Annoyed me. And it's clear because it should, there should be a balance there.
Definitely.
You know, how did you find like getting the balance right?
I thought it was a lot of fun because, like you said, they're two completely different genres.
Yeah.
So I mean, it's, you don't really need to pick a favorite because they are so different, and the way that they come at each other in this book shows the differences between the two. So the way that they handle themselves, the way that they handle this confrontation, the way that they even start the confrontation and go after what they're going, it's really hard to talk about it without doing any spoilers.
Yeah, it is.
It's a friggin'
you're
nightmare,
on the edge,
man.
There, mate. You are literally, yeah, really, the scooter, yeah. Right. Yeah. Railway line.
Yeah, yeah. We've done so well as well so far, and I guarantee I'm just going to blurt some really shite out. but yes, yeah, so like exploring the differences and the way that they react to one another was probably the most fun of writing the book for me. Mm. I think we managed to get it across quite well.
I mean, just to stem any fears, you've got stuff on your Kickstarter page, like a synopsis. Yeah. Which I'll just read out, just in case you're worried about blurting anything out. It says there, on a quest from God, King Arthur has dispatched three of his most trusted knights to search for the Holy Grail. That classic. Unfortunately for the king, he is not the only one that seeks a sacred prize, and the infamous pirate Blackbeard is basically going to go up against him, essentially, as well.
Yeah.
So it's, you know,
yeah.
The Holy Grail is such a wonderful sort of MacGuffin.
Yes, definitely.
The bit of a heart of it, though, is whenever you watch a decent pirate movie or a decent knight movie or read a book, at the centre of it is always honour and the code and things like that. It was fun to explore the idea that both of them, having come head to head with each other, they have to realise that what they think is honour might not necessarily be perceived as honor by anybody outside of their little world.
Okay.
Interesting.
So you've got two, and that's kind of it from throughout history, that everybody has this strong sense of moral code of what they're doing is right. But what happens when you put those two things together and they have to actually unpick each other?
It's a metaphor for today, isn't it, really, when you think about it?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think we stick to the metaphor of today with the both sides just attacking each other.
Blindly beating the shit out of one another with swords and guns.
Refusing to take a step backwards on their opinions. Exactly. Yeah.
I think what's interesting though, and you guys will know this from creating your own books as well, is it's really difficult for us because we can talk all day long about how we want people to perceive it, how we want people to see it. But when you're involved in part of the process, or whether you're involved quite, you know, hands-on, as both myself and Jay and Burbs and Matt and everybody have been, it's really hard for you to see it as a finished product. It's really hard for you to see it, to enjoy that book as somebody else would. So that, I'm really excited to hand it over to other people to see what they think of it. Because we'll only ever see it as, I'll only ever look at pages and think, oh, I remember when I drew that. I remember when I was doing this and things like that. Whereas somebody else will look at it in a completely different way.
Do you know, when I see it slightly differently is when it arrives from the printers and I open the box. Then I kind of at that point only see it in a fresh eye sometimes because it's a different medium maybe.
Yeah,
because by that time it's too late, isn't it? You know what I mean?
But but it's also been long enough, hasn't it, to not detach from it, but to not be poring over it as much as you maybe were.
Yeah, yeah.
You have to have that knowledge of you know, once you've made the decision to click send to printer, that's it. That's what it's going to be, and it's done.
Yeah, good stuff, isn't it? Yeah. Who's printing it for you guys?
Yeah.
Mix them.
Are you going perfect bound? Are you going hardback or are you going softback or what are you doing?
We have hardback and softback.
Right.
Paper back.
Yeah.
Flimsy back. Right. Floppy back.
How many backs have you got?
So many backs.
One of the tiers you was up and up was like original art, wasn't it, Chris? Did that all, how did that go? Is that they all sold out?
No. Well, I, you know what? It's a funny one because you don't. I never expect them to. And if it was quite funny, actually, because yesterday morning, obviously, we're all quite nervous. I was in Devon, roasting up down there. Hadn't really slept very well with knowing that you're going to be launching the Kickstarter the next day. And we were all sharing, what do we think it's going to do first day? And I won't share the numbers, but they weren't showy off. Numbers.
Conservative, very conservative.
I make you right. Me, Falpy and Fraser Campbell have had a monetary bet on where we thought it would be, and we all went. We were all completely and utterly wrong. It went over it. Yeah,
yeah.
With our recent book, not yours and mine, but yeah, yeah.
And then and that's the thing with the original art tier, because you can never assume that someone's going to want it that much, and you have to value it at a reasonable price. I think, you know, to make it enticing to people. But you also want a little bit of acknowledgement for the amount of time and effort that went into it.
Oh, God, yeah.
And so, and on those, you know, on those pages, all the ones that we put up, like most of the pages in the book, well, nearly every page in the book, a lot of time and effort went into them. Mm. So I never assume that they're just going to go. I'm not blindsided by things like Instagram followers and Twitter followers. People follow you on Instagram because they want free pictures. They want, you know, you get to see stuff for free.
Yeah.
As soon as you put on there that, oh, I'm selling this or I'm doing this, you have a percentage of people that are willing to kind of back you or like it enough to do that. But to the rest of them, it's like, no, man, I'm just following you because I like your artwork. I don't want to, you know, I don't want to buy it.
Yeah. Have you kept to like a little book of people who haven't backed it so you can hate them?
Yeah. So, like, so we can get them at cons next year.
Yeah.
So. I mean, it's like Imbers, I'm going to have to pull him because he is being quite modest there. I think about just under 50% of the original art pages went yesterday, and every single one, we did a commissions tier as well to get a bit of personalized artwork from him. And every single one of them went.
Nice.
Shh. Brilliant. Shh.
Silence. You got your work cut out.
Well, I just can't believe he's been. I'm still shocked over that Chris Imbers being humble. He's being modest. I've never seen that before.
Lockdown has changed us all.
we never expect anybody to back it. I always feel awful when a friend's Kickstarter comes out. Because you can't back them all, and it's not necessarily that something's a favourite. It's I just literally have to look at the book and go, "Will I read that?" So if somebody's just decided not to back it because one, in these times they just can't risk it or afford it, or two, it's just not up their street, absolutely fine by me. It doesn't bother me at all.
And it's the same with that goes beyond Kickstarters to when you're at conventions and, like, you know, we're all buying everyone's books and stuff, but. And you do have that the guilt when you don't buy a friend's book or something like that, but it should work the same. There is you know, there's only so much money to go around. If we had all the money in the world, we'd all buy everyone's books.
And that's not your target.
Yeah, the trick is to get out of that. The trick is to break out, isn't it? That's
the absolutely. Yeah. You can only survive if you break out of that.
Yep. Yeah.
Yeah.
Because, you know, for every book that you sell, if you're buying one. Mm. Then you're the victim of is how you're all pricing them.
Pass the parcel, isn't it, at the end of the day.
Which is what you don't want that, do you? And with the greatest respect to everybody who pours their heart and soul into a book that they make, I don't want to buy every one of them because it's just not my it's not my thing.
Yeah, me neither. Exactly. I know what you mean. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Okay, couple of important questions now.
Oh,
here we go. Let's get to the real controversy of the map. No, I'm only joking.
I'm bigger. He can use it better. What?
We could be talking about anything.
Heights.
All right. What's your favourite pirate sort of media? Each one of you. You must have a favourite sort of go-to.
Watercolour.
No, I mean, you know what I mean, multimedia. you would say film, but there could be anything. There could be games, there could be anything. What's your favourite?
It's not a big comic thing, is it?
No.
So far, Pirates.
No, mine, I'm going to get lambasted for this, but I love the Pirates, like the first Pirates of the Caribbean movie.
Yeah,
I think
it's a
classic. I think it's absolutely amazing, and yeah. I don't mind the two afterwards either. No, I love the imagery of them all.
Bill Nye's like amazing in that. I just some of the storytelling around it goes a bit. Mm.
That's where I go, because I think it's one of those genres where if I go too early, I get lost in some of the kind of stereotypes and cheesiness of it all. But I like the more modern take on it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Jay.
Secondly, I'd say video piracy.
You wouldn't steal a car, would you?
Yeah. Video piracy is a crime. Do not accept it.
Yeah.
Not.
Do you remember that? Do you remember that disclaimer? Yeah. That was nice.
Yeah. They always put that on top front of tapes that you bought, but you're going for the wrong customer. Yeah. I know that. I bought the fucking thing.
There was someone that they used to sell them. They used to sell them out of a box in East Street Market, and they still had it written on them.
Yeah. Amazing. Jay, what about you? Pirates, what's your favourite thing?
Unfortunately, I'd have to agree. It's not like that much, is there?
I probably in recent times that Black Sails was a good TV series as well. That was the game.
Assassin's Creed, the pirate game of Assassin's Creed. That was good.
Black Flag, that was really good.
Yeah.
But a lot of that is, therefore, it gets a lot of its influences. Dare I say, I know Pirates of the Caribbean is bombastic, but they do the stylistic touches.
Yes.
Definitely filter through the entire genre, didn't it, really?
Yeah, definitely.
Is Sinbad a pirate? I don't know.
I like the old more of an adventurer.
Yeah, Sinbad and the Eye of the Tiger. I like that. That was a good film.
That's awesome. Is that the one with Carolyn Monroe?
No, that's the seventh voyage of Sinbad or something. Yeah. But she's good in that one. She's very good in most things, actually, Carolyn Monroe. She's got a great oeuvre.
Oh,
I always like the Neverland pirates. I always thought they were the best part of that story.
I'm not a big fan of that.
Well, I like the idea that, like, the Lost Boys and then they're
a bunch
of
grown ups trying to murder them.
Here we go. Where are we going with this?
Yeah,
If you think about it logically, Captain Hook is the worst bad guy that has ever been conceived in anything ever, because he lives in the most beautiful place you can imagine. Magic is real. There are fairies, there are mermaids, there's everything that's incredible, and he chooses to spend his time murdering kids. That's like, you can't have a hobby. Yeah, hold on. Suppose you do. But yeah, that kind of Hook is probably one of my favourite films of all time as well, thinking about that.
It's the food fight, isn't it?
That's what does it.
Bangarang.
Yeah. Oh, God.
Thing about, like, the pirates being lost boys that had grown up?
Yeah.
And that's why they hated Han, because he pushes them away and then they join up them. Oh, I'm not sure if that's canon or not.
Jesus.
No, but I like stuff like that. I like it when people kind of try and explain it in a different way. Yeah. I think for saying that, that's definitely what we've tried to do with this Knights versus Pirates thing. I think we've tried to come up with a cleverish way that the two worlds kind of collide by playing on the lore of both of them.
Mm. And what about the genre of knights then? Because that's had a lot. Is that a bigger genre, or is that the same?
Yeah.
I would say so.
I'm going to say two things.
Excalibur. Yes.
Mm. Oh.
I'm going to say my two things are going to be an annual trip to Warwick Castle. I take the family all the time and I love it there.
Yeah.
And just get a really warm sense of being there, hence the night thing. And the second one is Visionaries.
Oh,
yes. Good shout.
Magical light. Yes. Oh, class.
I was really irritated by those visionary redesigns that IDW did.
Oh, I wasn't keen at all.
No.
They're shit.
Yeah, we say it like it is on this show.
Excellent. Jay, what about you, Jay?
I have just actually finished the series Nightfall on Netflix, and that was incredible.
Oh, I've started watching that. It seems quite good. The one where they're in a monastery and he's shagging, but he's not meant to and all that.
Exactly. Yeah. So it's about the Knights Templar, isn't it? And So that was a good little series. Besides that, is it Knight's Tale with Heath Ledger, which is just that ridiculous one?
I was hoping no one would say that.
We're done with the Queen sound.
This has no bearing on what Knights versus Pirates reads like. This is just
it would not be allowed.
Game of Thrones was pretty Knights heavy.
I'm going to go with... is this Arthurian or Knights? Because I suppose they're slightly separate, aren't they? The Arthurian thing translates.
Yeah. Yeah. They're more Roman, weren't they? And Sumerian.
Oh, yeah, yes. Yeah. If you look at, is it Mage? It's basically Arthurian legend because the baseball bat is Excalibur and all that
Yeah. Excalibur's such a monumental sort of fictional sort of, you know, just for because it goes beyond King Arthur, isn't it? People have turned, it's gone from being a sword to being a baseball bat to being, you know, people have adapted that in so many different ways.
Yeah.
But
that was fun to design, actually. My own little take on that.
Yeah, because that, you know, did you find any pressure in that, having to design like one of the classics?
This is going to sound really, really shitty, but no. no, because I appreciate lots of different takes on things like that.
Yeah.
I like to see how different people would interpret it. And I think you could spend hours and hours at a drawing table driving yourself mad trying to draw the perfect Excalibur, or you could give it a couple of sketches and see what just naturally comes out of you. Mm. And that's kind of where it kind of came from. It seemed to be a very natural process, especially with how it ties into the book. That's quite an important part of the book.
Mm. Yeah, the plot feeds in a lot to the design of the sword, which I think probably helped quite a lot, didn't it? So
Did that was that something that when you first had the idea and then you saw the design, you adapted like story bits based on that?
Well, I don't know. Well, it's always quite an awkward one because, again, see, spoilers, because the sword is a big deal in the plot. So I kind of knew what to expect. I'm just going to be quiet. I'm going to sit here quiet.
You know that thing we talked about, the way that we were really pleased that we brought the two worlds together?
Yeah.
The sword is at the centre of that.
Right.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
We will push no further. because they're on the cusp of breaking. They're on the cusp of breaking.
We just know that we're just a mess. If we finish this and we say anything and it goes out on Monday night, we both know we're getting a heated call from Burbs.
I mean, you're okay so far.
Yeah, I think you've done well. I mean, obviously, we've got you two guys on there, but it's a team effort, isn't it, with the other guys? So, what has been the organisation of, like, you know, the campaign and the book over the past 2 years between the whole lot of you? What's that been like?
We've all fed into it, but I don't think you can ever underestimate the amount that that Burbs does. He does so much.
Yeah. Incredible. Absolouring
colouring it, he makes all the Kickstarter page up, anything that you see that's on the websites or anything like that, he sorts it all out. He does it all. I'm in the most privileged position ever for a comic company because he just keeps me drawing.
That's good.
I'm starting to think we should have asked him.
Yeah.
Instead.
Matt does like a lot of the business side of stuff, but he's also been flatting the pages for this.
Oh wow, that's a time saver, isn't it? Stuff like that.
Yeah, and it's tedious, so we wanted to give it to him. I think we wanted him to, because he's never really been involved in the creative aspect, and we realise that we sometimes run away with stuff like that. So we wanted him to have something where he felt he was kind of contributing, and also it saved just a massive amount of time.
Yeah, well, I mean, just from what we've seen so far, it looks like an absolutely stunning book that
we really, really hope that people enjoy it. And just
I can't wait.
Finish reading it and just think, oh, that was a blast.
Are you going to do a hard launch? Or I know it's difficult these days of the virus, but are you planning on doing a launch anywhere or anything like that?
We'll see what Lady COVID allows.
Yeah, that's a problem, isn't it? Yeah.
She the villain for the second one.
Knights versus Pirates versus Pandemic. Don't, because you're going to get... Because your next year's worth of shows are all going to be about, well, I wrote this comic about the virus.
Mate, the pitches at Nobrow, they're coming thick and fast, my friend.
Yeah. I can imagine.
Literally everything for the next 10 years is going to be about this, isn't it?
I can't wait till two metal bands. I can't wait till two thrash metal bands turn up at the same venue and they're both called COVID-19.
The thing is that we're going through a period of nobody doing anything, but unfortunately people are writing stories about them not doing anything, which makes them particularly uninteresting.
I genuinely thought that this would hit, and like, as somebody who, like, I like my day job and everything, but I would like to draw more. I thought, wow, what an opportunity. Like, I've been doing like the home learning for all the kids and everything, but in the evenings and stuff, thinking, oh, I'm not going to be as tired. I'm going to be able to do it. And I was wiped out for about a month of just feeling like ridiculously lethargic. Right. So I thought when this all first kicked off, I thought, now's my chance. I'll probably get this all wrapped up in like a few weeks. And it just didn't happen. So I think if anybody's like I was, just creatively knocked for six for a little while.
Yeah.
This was kind of a bit of salvation.
Definitely a bit of mental health. Like when this first came along, I was a bit sort of put on the back foot as well. Very similar to you, Chris. And I was like, I found it very hard to kind of get motivated to do creative stuff. I was just like, I'm not in the headspace for this.
I was sort of sat there staring into the dead eyes of my wife thinking, I'm stuck with this now.
Little does he know she's thinking the same.
It gets worse than that, Chris. I started to rumour she died just to cheer myself up. You know what I mean?
No, I think that's it's quite a, that is a thing though, because I think a lot of people are the same. I mean, you know, creativity in these times is a very important thing. But so if you can create anything, then fucking more power to you.
I actually think Kickstarter's ballooned. I think this.
My goodness! Yeah,
loads. Definitely. And they all seemingly are doing well. You know,
quality's gone up. And the funny thing is, there's a lot of, like pro people. Obviously, with the diamond thing, with perhaps sales not being what they were for some of the big companies, there seem to be a few problems at places like DC and things like that.
Well, we've heard that Valiant have closed their offices, haven't we? This week. Well, yeah, that's a worry. Yeah,
and you're seeing more and more pros talking openly about wanting to do creator own stuff, and I think that's always been there in the, you know, in the shadows a little bit. I think that's naturally what everybody wants to do, isn't it? You want to have your own idea and draw it and it to be well received. I can't say that, you know, if somebody came and said, do you want to draw an X-Men issue, I wouldn't bite their hand off. But at the same time, I'm a massive ambassador for indie stuff. I love the freedom it brings. I love just being able to have an idea and see it through, and to be in that fortunate position where I can do it and not have to, you know, not have to worry about the bills and things like that. I just love it.
It's the fun of it, man. That's the thing.
Absolutely. And to just the craft of it, just getting better at it.
I was considering that Valiant shutting their office. That might not be such a bad thing, you know.
Because, well, I'm hoping it's going to save them a load of money and they can keep going.
If you've got like an office in New York, fuck me, they must be really costly. And how much money is a comic company bringing in nowadays? It's
I worry though, because they've licensed loads of their characters for movies, and you know, it's a shame. From a company that was on our tongues every week for what, a couple of years of this show, it's kind of dropped off the radar a bit, isn't it, recently? And it's a shame.
With who's that chap that left?
Dinesh,
and then his success, I think, has just been mishandled.
Dinesh was a real, I mean, I met him in New York, and he's, you know, started chatting to me, and I just thanked him because he's the one who's put it back in under my eyes, you know. He was brilliant. I know he's been involved in the movie, isn't he?
Bloodshot.
Yeah, he did the Bloodshot movie. I think he was a writer or something on it, wasn't he?
It got really revved up and a lot of hype, and then it just, when he left, it just all just slowly faded away.
Yeah, it was sad, isn't it? Yeah,
has that movie come out yet, or is it going straight to video on demand? Or is...
I went to video on demand and it's come out on DVD now. Not DVD, well, DVD and Blu-ray. Yeah. It's all right, man. It's all right.
Yeah,
it's
fair enough.
It's a Vin Diesel movie.
Yeah, exactly what it is. Okay. Yeah.
You know what you're gonna get.
I enjoyed it,
and I like Vin Diesel.
They based a great name. They base a bit of it in London, and it's basically a street clearly in Vancouver with the same black taxi driving up and down the road. It's like one of those things.
Superb.
Brilliant.
Yeah. And speaking of superb, we will put a link in the show notes for the Knights vs. Pirates Kickstarter.
Yep.
If you don't see it on your social media travels,
Yeah, sorry about that.
I have to say, mate, I haven't seen you like going nuts. I certainly haven't. Yeah. I mean, I did the whole. I always think it's a good thing for people whose projects you want is to register beforehand. So I did the whole register for when it comes up, and then I get an email saying it's live, so I can back.
Yeah,
it.
Yeah.
I don't think you've gone nuts with it, man.
Not at all.
Yeah. Yeah.
Is this a fine line? Isn't it? You want to push. You want to promote. You want to do everything you can to back yourself, but at the same time, you don't want to bombard and annoy everybody.
You don't want to be that bloke, do you? That's the thing. I don't think you guys have. Not at all. No, not at all.
As long as you're not DMing anyone saying, "Oh, can you back this?" Because that is that's what CUNT would do.
The one I've noticed recently is I get a comic order, and I send a comic out, and I message the person to say, "Oh, I've just sent you the comic out. Thanks for buying it, mate." And he said, "Oh, no problem at all. Yeah, brilliant. Really looking forward to reading it. Did I tell you that I've got a Kickstarter out?" And I'm like, "Oh, here we go. He's caught me."
Yeah, done ya.
We were, and this is a fantastic platform to do it on, really. We were genuinely shocked yesterday. I mean, it was a brilliant day. I was messaging you.
You would say no, and all this sort of thing. I go yes.
Yeah. Tom Ward, I've been talking to a lot, and he's been saying, "Oh, it'd be great. You'd be fine." And it's like, I can never see it like that. I always go on the other side, and I hope it will. You know, I said on the group chat yesterday, you know, I think we all hope it will do better, but realistically, this is how I think we'll do.
You got to bet now what it's going to do. I reckon it's going to do 250%. That's my little 250 to 300%. That's where I think it's going.
Yeah, that'd be lovely.
Yeah,
that would be absolutely amazing.
I know you don't want to say on here, but that's where my money is.
That would be incredible. I think a lot of people, a lot more people this time backed it straight away early on, got the reward levels, you know, that they wanted, and I think it's probably going to slow down.
Well, you've got they reckon, what, 3 or 4 days of high point at the start, then you get the slow period in the middle, and then you get 2 or 3 days at the end. So you're still in the middle of the, you know, the uplift at the moment. You're still going well.
Yeah, yeah. We've just been, I can't thank everybody enough. We've been absolutely blown away. Yeah, really have.
Absolutely amazing. The response has just been incredible. People sending really lovely messages about it as well. Not just like backing it, but saying, "Oh, I backed it. It looks incredible," and then sharing all over social media and stuff. It's been an amazing couple of days.
That's the good thing about Kickstarter. It gives you that option to immediately share it, which I think is a great idea. So if people back stuff, it's always a good idea to press that. Would you like to share this? Because I know I always do. Yeah, it's a good thing.
Yeah.
I think people can kind of. I've been influenced by that. I've seen someone. Else, yeah, I really like that person. And they've done. Oh, I'll check that out then. And thought, yeah, that looks good.
Sometimes you don't realize it's out yet. You know, sometimes you have missed it. I mean, I rarely scroll through Twitter now. I look at replies and look at some people's stuff I like. But, you know, it's not often you always scroll through, and I think that helps.
I think a lot of times as well, it's all, like, with algorithms and everything, you don't know that half the people. So you talk about, like, putting a post out every day or something saying, "Oh, we've got this." It might be on the 8th one that they actually see it, you know.
And
I didn't realise.
Do any of you guys actually scroll through comics Twitter and think comics like the Kickstarter page and think, "Oh, I'll give that a go"? Because I'd never do that.
Never.
Very rarely. Mm. Yeah.
Mm. And I'm probably missing out on some absolute brilliant stuff.
Yeah.
But,
I've caught some stuff just purely from a retweet occasionally, just being like, "Oh, that looks quite good."
Yeah.
But I will then read the page. I don't just blind buy.
Oh, no, no.
Kickstarter.
Yeah. Here's a question for you. Did you ever consider putting it out on Indiegogo?
No.
No. I know there's big money. There's big money to be made on there, isn't there?
Yeah. So, no, we didn't. I've never. Only because Kickstarter feels familiar for us.
Yeah.
I backed. Is it Sean Gordon Murphy's new one? That looks ace. I backed that.
Right.
I think that was Indiegogo. Yeah.
It's a weird one because I backed a thing about Kung Fu movie posters on there like ages ago, and I keep thinking it doesn't work. It's not like a month on Indiegogo. It goes for a while, doesn't it, until they decide to close it down.
Yeah. No, I just think with Kickstarter just seemed the place to go for us because it sounds awful, but it's kind of what everyone does here. You know,
it's much more UK-based, isn't it, I think?
It seems to be,
For us anyway. More press scene.
Try and test. I think we had our audience on there, you know. So
yeah, that's true. Yeah, I mean, you can do both. People do both. You know, I think the thing is, I think with Indiegogo, the only advantage I think it's got is that you can do your campaign, but then you can sell it on there. So it's almost like having a big cartel after the campaign. I think that's
Because there's loads of stuff to see. They've done the total and then they just keep running.
Yeah, and I don't know why Kickstarter don't have that button where you can go in and buy it straight from them. I mean, they'd still take 5%. It seems like a good idea, because sometimes when the books land, so say a month later when the books land or whatever it is, 6 months later, there's a little buzz then, isn't there? People posting it, I've just received this, and there must be people who think, oh, I wish I'd back that, and they can go on the Kickstarter and buy it. I think it's a good idea, actually.
Yeah. Well, hopefully that'll drive people to both of our kind of web stores and stuff, you know. So.
Yeah.
Well, just have to. I think that's one thing. That's an important thing to say, though. I think it's just as important that you put your time and effort into the advertising side then, as when you're doing the Kickstarter.
Yeah, it's in stages now. When it hits Comixology, when it hits Comic House, when you just got sale at conventions, you got it on your website. There's all different stages of it now. When you consider doing a signing, there's lots of things going on, aren't there?
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, the life of a book is much longer than it certainly used to be. You know, they used to.
Yeah. Absolutely. That's the way we're kind of seeing it through. Obviously, I think Sheriff 7 is in the pipes. It's written. I think it's half drawn, or maybe it's even drawn and waiting to be coloured. So that's. And then I'm doing layouts. I'm halfway through layouts for my next graphic novel now.
Oh, okay.
That's the idea.
Sucker for Punishment, I think it's the phrase there, isn't it?
yeah. It sits still for too long and don't like the feeling.
You feel like you get rusty unless you do something, Craig.
I definitely do. I feel like I'm going to get worse at it. I put so much work into to try and get it to where it is that if I don't do it for a few months, it's all of a sudden going to all go wrong.
Did you go from page one to the end, or did you jump around?
Yeah, no, I went from page one till the end. Apart from I drew the last page. I think there was one time when I just felt I was running through treacle. And I was on this one page for probably about 2 weeks, just, which is so unlike me. So I just went to the last page and just drew that, just so I had like a goal to work towards.
Yeah.
And when you see the book and you see the last page, it's a relatively kind of simple, straightforward page. So it was just like, right, I've done the last one now. So I've kind of chipped away from the total. So, and that just seemed to help things.
Gotcha.
So
nice.
Yeah, it's going to be a glorious book. Check out the links, check out the Kickstarter.
It's definitely one of those books of the year, man. Yeah. It definitely is the high point.
These boys are going to be busy for quite some time. So,
amazing.
Yeah. So, thank you for. You didn't spoil anything. You answered controversial questions.
No, I've been good.
You're still going to
be now. He's going to say everything just in a long, one long diet.
Yeah.
The entire plot. Blah, blah, blah.
No, and I would say I'd edit it out, but that doesn't happen.
We won't do that. We don't do that.
But what we do is occasionally do some shout outs. What shout outs have we got this week, gents?
I got a couple. So, everyone look out for Luke Cooper. He's he keeps on rocking with a book called Hollow Girl, which we should mention more of, actually. And it's a clever book and well drawn. And I always look at his stuff on Instagram and on Twitter. So check him out. Go and have a look at Hollow Girl. You can go find him on Twitter at LMJ Cooper. COOPER, LMJ Cooper. Go and look at it. He's a good egg. He's a big supporter of us, and we're a big supporter of him, and rightly so. Also, keep an eye out for Irrelevant Zero from Stuart Moraine. It's coming to the Comic House very soon. It's a really interesting story of what happens to a superhero when the media decides to turn on them. Stu's been experimenting with the sort of quirky side of comics, I suppose, for a while now, and he's really improving. He's trying to draw every day, so go and have a look at that. That's any day now on Comic House. That's one. There you go.
That's my two. Yeah, old Luke, he does, like, if you kind of like John Woo films, Heroic Bloodshed, that's your cup of tea. Go and see Chase Luthor. He's a good champion of the downtrodden.
He is. Yeah. He's a good boy.
I'd like to give a shout out to Scrawl Comics Magazine on Kickstarter.
Oh, yeah.
Now, it's absolutely blazed past this target, but there's just a myriad of uber-talented UK creators working on that one. So go check that out. Scrawl Comics Magazine, Comics of an X.
Yep.
And The Mighty World of John McRae, which is another one which has blazed past his total. And that looks absolutely amazing. It's UK Comic Kickstarter is fucking going I'm going crazy.
I've pledged to a few of these, and Dan just took my two shouts. So,
I've forgotten one.
Go on.
Can I just say the penned Gwyn coincidence? We love Al. Al is a top bloke. And he's promised to send me another bit of toilet paper with this collection because I say it's the perfect bog book to read while you're doing dropping the kids off. It's once again, he's got 21 days to go and it's smashed it. It's 183%, but it's definitely it's like a big collection of strip stories, all with a joke at the end. So they're a bit like dad jokes, some of them, but they always make me smile. I'm going to have a look at that. There you go.
And also the awesome comic group talk contest. That we're running. We're on to the phase two, the writing stage. So the chosen title that the group went with was Waltergeist, the Ghost Boy. Is that correct?
That's right.
Yeah.
And so we're looking for kind of like your pitch for the comic stroke series. You're going to email it to tony.awesomecomicspod@gmail.com.
Yeah, basically just send us you know how like when you're on a website or a Comixology or Amazon or whatever, it's just the back of the video box. It's just a paragraph just telling us what the... What is Walter Geist, the Ghost Boy?
Yeah, it's going well. Yeah. It's people are really, really coming up with some great ideas. We'd have had definitely a few really good ones. So give it a go. You might win. There you go.
So
we're
going to
do like a
friendly
blind competition, aren't we?
Mm. Yeah. So what we're going to do is pop them on... when we email them in, we're going to put them on a Google Doc anonymously so people can read them, and then we'll put a poll up and you vote for which one you like. And then we'll go on to the third phase in there, which I think is... either character design or logo design.
Yeah. Oh, that's right. Maybe both at once, actually.
Maybe both, yeah.
Yeah.
Get two going at the same time.
And this whole thing is just for the fun of creativity and just, you know, no one's making any money off this. We're not going to fucking just print this book afterwards. no. But it's just, yeah.
I've got a few books I'll throw in as prizes.
Yeah.
I've got some no-brow books I've thrown in. There you go.
We've got plenty. Yeah. So there you go. From all of that comic goodness to what is going to be a whole heap of awesome comics for you to check out. And as is the way, we put our guests in a fighting pit and they have to fight to the death to decide who goes first when it comes to the recommendations.
Go on, Jay.
Oh, that was a short fight.
Yeah.
You bigger than me. I'll do it. Shut up and draw. It's great being a writer.
Yeah, easy. I've not done an out for the past 6 months.
Take it away, Dave.
Yeah, cool. So I have had a look at a comic called Second Coming, which is by Mark Russell, and the art is by a guy called Richard Pace from Ahoy Comics. I was just browsing through, didn't really know what to expect, and I came across a comic which was pitched as Jesus ends up living with the world's greatest superhero. So obviously I was involved straight away.
Wasn't kid Jesus, was it?
It's no, thankfully not. No, fully grown Jesus. Okay. It's a 6-issue run. And it's brilliant. It's pitched as a comedy comic, which I'm not really into that much because they tend to be like a little bit try hard sometimes. But it's got just the right mix of pretty much everything. I was reading it and thought, how in the hell have they managed to get away with this superhero? The superhero is called Sunstar. His one weakness is something called Solonite, which is a bit of his home planet because he's an alien. He's not from here. He is going out with a famous reporter, and he's from a town called Littleton. So, and then... having a bit of a look into it, realised that it should have been a DC book, should have been a DC Vertigo book, but they kind of chickened out a little bit because it's got Jesus in it. It's a great book. Basically, basic premise is God was upset that Jesus did so poorly on his first visit to Earth, so decides that he needs toughening up, so sends him to Earth to be the flatmate of the world's greatest superhero. So they both kind of start rubbing along with each other. It's really interesting the way that they've done everything. It's like the best version of Jesus, and obviously this
kind of version of Jesus. Yeah. That's the episode title.
I hate all those bad versions.
Yeah. The old season 2 version where they change the character. It's a different actor. That's the one, isn't it?
Yeah.
I think it was the Bible, or it might have been Superman 3 where the two Jesuses go against each other in a junkyard.
Nice. But no, it's great. So like, yeah, what to
I
say
think
about
that's
it?
Interesting
really,
that it was a Vertigo book. That's
did you just honestly say what to say about it?
Without, well, trying not to spoil it for anybody who might want to read it.
Mark Russ is a good writer. He wrote that Snagglepuss book, which was a sort of take on McCarthyism.
Mate,
loved that book. That was a really clever book. And yeah, I really rate him. And it's a shame that Vertigo went to shit about a year after they failed to take that book up in it, really. Mm. Yeah. That was what they used to do. They used to do books about Jesus. What the fuck is Preacher about? Do you know what I mean? It's like, it's a shame.
This is actually really respectful. Because there's scenes in it where, Jesus gets arrested for fighting with people who are followers of him. So everybody who's like really like mad right wing Bible thumpers, and he obviously disagrees with them, and then they beat him up. and it's stuff like that. It's really well handled, all the religious side.
Make Jesus great again. That's what I said.
Yeah. That's all. there's two really interesting, really like well defined art styles in there as well. So like it's kind of like a gothic-y, a bit more messy art for the bit where they're dealing about God and Jesus and all that backstory and that kind of thing.
Right.
And then a really clean, really like straight-lined version when it comes to all the superhero stuff. And they managed to blend it in really, really well. It's a properly interesting read. It mixes all the comedy elements with like some quite really hard-hitting stuff. Like at one point, because in the Bible, Jesus jumps from, I think he's around 10, something like that, and then jumps all the way to being 30. And there's a bit in it where Jesus decides to train his best friend as a carpenter and then ends up giving him his carpentry shop. And then the Romans come along and get Jesus' best friend to start making crosses. So you can kind of tell where it's that kind of level.
Oh, nice. Nice. So that's available on Comixology and, well, I guess everywhere else at the moment. Ahoy Comics. Where are Ahoy Comics from? Because they're
is it Steve Moore? He's ex-Marvel editor. He wrote Nightwalker with Chris Wildgoose, I think. You know, the young Batman book.
Yeah.
He did quite a good Namor series with Marvel. And I think he's the editor-in-chief / publisher, I think.
Nice, because they're an up-and-comer, aren't they, Ahoy, really?
Yeah.
Aren't they?
Millionaire Island, was that the one I reviewed a few weeks ago?
Oh, yeah.
Is that one?
Yeah. Oh, interesting. All right, then, Chris, you next.
That was like a whole stand-up routine. How do I follow that?
How have you managed to post a stretch goal while we've been talking? What's that about? I've got an email. Okay.
Oh, no, right. They've got the team, haven't they? You know.
Why don't you read it in full?
We're currently on the Awesome Comics podcast. This is amazing.
Yeah. Jay has been going on about this book for about 15 minutes. That's how I had time. It does actually sound really good, though. That sounds wicked good.
Great.
I'm going to shout out, much more briefly than Jay did, Merrick, just because I think that anybody who can take a concept and roll with it over that many issues and develop like that one kind of sense of style. You see all those books lined up together, or you see Tom Ward's table at a convention, and it's just like this celebration of this one title. And I think that's incredible. I think it's amazing that he's kind of stuck to his guns on telling that story, and he's actually developed this universe that's, you know, he can dip into, and like with Treves, he can do a whole one-shot like mini graphic novel about this one character within it. I think I just think it's amazing. And I'm in awe of it. As somebody who has, you know, the attention span of a goldfish, I think what he's managed to achieve there is incredible. And it must have taken a lot of discipline to not just run away with different ideas and things, but to keep it as to what it is, I think is amazing.
Doesn't we have number 10 coming out soon as well?
Yeah, that's one of those things where I see Tom's running a Kickstarter.
Number 9 was just on Comixology, wasn't it, I think?
Yeah, he did 9, 10, and 11 all together, I think he kickstarted.
Right, okay.
And so he releases them as they come out. But it's one where it comes up, he says, I've got a Kickstarter running, I don't hesitate to go in and do it. Because they're just lovely books. They really are. They're great fun. And I just love the style and the image of them all and how they all look. I think it's brilliant. And secondly, was one that I was genuinely nicely surprised by, and I don't mean that in any way, shape, or form in an insulting way, but I've picked up enough books now where you kind of read through them and you go, oh yeah, yeah, you're on a journey, you know, like people know that word when they pick up ours, you know, things are like getting better or something. But I was genuinely like floored by Mahoney's by Rich Carrington. Right, it was just so nicely paced to read and enjoy, and it's a world that I want to know more about, and it didn't patronize you at all. It threw you in with the characters and let you learn about them as you went through. The art style was nice. It popped. It was visually appealing, and it was just very, very well written. Understated is a word I would use. It read like picking up a comic off the shelf. You know, like when you used to go to a comic store when you were kind of like, when you were growing up, and you grab a comic off the shelf and just go, "I'll give this a go. This looks great." That's how it read. In the best possible way I can say that, it read like picking a comic up off the shelf and just going home and enjoying it. I didn't pull out of the universe at all while I was reading it. I thought it was fantastic.
Cool.
Nice.
Yes.
Okay, who wants to go next? Dan, do you want to go next?
Yes. Sorry, I just loaded up a page of mine and it's fucked up. But here it is. I've got Cathargo. You guys have raved about these books for bloody years. Yes. And I'm very late to the party on it.
Humble Bundle, baby.
Yeah, if you're interested in getting it, this Humble Bundle is available. I'll just click on it now. If you listen to this on Monday the 10th of August, you'll be able to get it. It's got 2 days, 20 hours to go. And for, I think it's £11.60, £11.80, you can get like so many comics in it. And Cathargo is in there. I think he's got the first 5 volumes. And I read the first one this weekend. I'm not sure how much I can add to it, but it's just such a fucking amazing book. It's just brilliant. Essentially what the story is from, I know it changes rapidly and goes all over the shop, but there's a deep sea drilling platform and they break into this underground chamber, which releases a megalodon, a shark, like not seen since the prehistoric times. And the story kind of goes from there. Essentially, this company can't come out and say this megalodon's escaped into the waters now, because that would mean the shutdown of their oil drilling platform and billions of dollars wasted. And essentially, the story goes from there. You think it's kind of like, this sounds like Jason Statham's The Meg. there's several other like B-plot storylines going along with that. I'm not even sure if they're B-plot. They could be like A, because I'm not sure how they all come together. You might have to kind of guide me here, Vince and Tony. But...
There's like a professional, there's like an old ancient guy who lives in, is it the Carpathian Mountains, in this sort of, and his thing is he's kind of an explorer, discoverer of creatures, stroke treasure. And then there's also a family of scientists, and there's a little secret
in
there. Is he
the mask,
well as
the old fella? Who's the one with the mask?
He's the owner of the business.
He's the owner of the business.
Well, that's
he
right.
He doesn't take off the mask, does he?
That's right.
It's reported he's had some kind of like accident and all his face is jacked up. But something about the kid, like they go on this kind of dive, and when they come up, the kid says, "Oh, I saw this and this on the dive." And I'm like, "Hold on, that's like 150 meters down. How'd you see that?" Because she didn't have any breathing gear. So there's something up with a girl that she's got some kind of like underwater aquatic.
It's so clever, man. It's like, it just shows the beauty of Bond Dessiné comics, isn't it? About how they're
novels.
Prepared to...
it's like a novel in comic format. That's the best, you know, there's so much going on, so many layers. They managed to pack it full of, you know, beautiful artwork.
I think in the original French, they're up to like 8 or 9. I know when I was, I saw a German version 2 years ago and that was number 7. So I think there's 8 or 9 volumes of them. And there's also Cathargo Adventures, which is kind of a spin-off.
There's
well,
a sequence where the shark attacks, like, I think it's a catamaran, and all the people go into the water, and there's like a wave about to come over them. You see the silhouette of the shark in the wave coming at them, and it's fucking amazing.
Yeah.
It's just.
But it's not over the top, sort of. It's not a shark attack book. This isn't.
No,
because it will do something like that, and then you won't see people being chomped in half and stuff, because all you need to see is this huge shape coming towards someone. You know what's going to happen.
I'm a sucker for shark stories. I know you are, V, as well. There's something about them in there.
It's a classy book, but
yeah.
Yeah, but so I can't wait to get stuck into the rest of them. So
amazing.
If you've got,
amazing.
got 12 quid, buy that.
But there's so much more in it. It does get a bit saucy. You went for the saucy level, didn't you?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Obviously.
On the Humble Bundle, not Carthago.
Yeah, on the Humble Bundle, there's like there's some skin mags.
What's the what's the Jodorowsky one you were looking at earlier that you said?
Mad Woman of a Sacred Heart.
That's right.
And it's written by Jodorowsky and drawn by Moebius.
Yeah. Well, there you go. You know what you're going to get there, don't you?
There's lots of kind of titles. I mean, there's some stuff like I've read some of the Meta Barons. I've read some of the Gifted comics from Mark Waid. There's something in there for everyone.
Yeah.
Ignited. Sorry, not
Gifted. As we speak, the Humble Bundle's still available. If you listen to this on Monday, it's still available for the next 2 days or.
Yeah. I think. About that.
Yeah.
Yeah, pretty much.
So we'll put a link in the show notes, etc. There was one in the last week's show, I think, as well.
Yes.
Link. So
yeah.
Yeah. So check it out.
I'm looking forward to reading Milo Manara's The Golden Ass.
I love it. I live a bit of Manara Manara. Yeah,
Dan
yeah.
just really wanted to say that. You can tell by the way he delivered it.
He draws well, man. I love his stuff. Mm. Yeah. Yeah. Do you ever see the X-Men comic that he did that they just had to go back retrospectively and draw costumes on them because he'd drawn them all naked?
Amazing. Those people that fucking had a fit of him drawing Spider Woman.
They want to look at this man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Heart failure.
What you got,
B? Okay, mine is a collection from Scout Comics, a publisher who I've mentioned a few times in the past, and that's because they're putting fucking awesome books that is the sort of stuff that we love to read. I very kindly, like, they gave us some books to sort of check out, and one of them was their collection of a book called Star Bastard. So you know with a title like that. You know with a title like that, I want to read it. And it had six issues, but this is the trade that I'm going to talk about now. Because I did actually, it was one of those rare moments where I went on social media and just went, fuck's sake, this is just awesome. And that's the start of my review. Yeah. and basically, this is, as it says on the website, a foul-mouthed, over-the-top sci-fi romp, equal parts Red Dwarf and grain alcohol. Star Bastard follows a long-suffering mercenary crew as they stumble through the universe under the clumsy command of the loud, obnoxious, and invulnerable Captain Greaves. Searching for clues to Greaves' shadowy past, they leave a trail of lizard bounty hunters, angry alien empires, and unpaid bar tabs in their wake. That's a synopsis. In my opinion, this is fucking amazing. I started this. I just had a PDF and I thought, oh, you know, great title. Cover looks great. It's got you got like a sort of the team shot, the issue one, you know, a hero who looks like Tony Esmond on crack.
Not me then.
Fucking full on steroids. You know, he's got like the sort of, he's got a vest top, and he's got like, you know, bulging biceps. But he's got the classic Wolvie arms. You know the Wolvie hairy arms? You know when they just used to do the little...
Yeah.
Yeah, he's got arms like that, which I looked at and I thought, that's a classic move.
The art reminded me a little bit of a sort of new working of maybe Ron Friends or someone like that. It's good art, man. It's like classic art, you know?
It is, and it is just top all the way through. Credits are writer Andrew Clemson, artist Jethro Morales, colourist Tio Gonzalez, letterer HDE, who's done a few of the... Scout books.
Isn't it a studio HDE?
Is it
I think so.
It could be. Yeah, it makes sense. Either that or an alien artificial intelligence is going to take us all slaves. But basically, Star Bastard is just from cover to cover an absolute joy. It's fun. Do you remember when comics used to be fun? Do you remember that?
Yeah.
Do you remember those days?
It took me right back to those days, man. Like, just. It's a bit of a pirate book, actually.
When comics used to be fun, Jay, that's a good point to just interject one more time with Knights versus Pirates, now available.
When comics were fun. The first page of Star Bastard, I mean, should you judge a book by its first page? But when there's a space battle going on and the spaceship kind of looks like a hot rod, it's got flames painted on the front. It does look like a hot rod kind of car. And the dialogue, the ship is actually called the Ghost Huffer.
And Do you know what? Sorry to interrupt you, Vince, but it reminds me of like scrolling through Sky Movies once and I came across Zombievers.
Yes.
Have you ever seen that movie?
Yeah.
And you watch it, and it is the best worst film you've ever seen because it plays on itself so, so well.
Yeah.
And that just sounds like what you're describing. So it just knows what it is.
It knows exactly what it is.
What it reminded me of is, have you seen the movie Ice Pirates?
Yeah.
It reminded me of that.
It's totally...
Robert Urich, I miss him, don't you?
Can you imagine all of these sort of like, you know, these schlocky sort of 80s straight to video, those fantastic sort of like bounty hunters, you know, but they're thinking, you know, we're not going to, this isn't for kids, we're going to have swear words and there's going to be like sex and innuendo and just violence and everything.
Chances five.
Yeah. But we're going to do it with a budget and we're going to do it well. And that's what Star Bastard is. I mean, the first bit of dialogue is someone going, oh, for fuck's sake. And I just thought, yeah, I'm in. And it is, you know, a motley crew of sort of space mercenaries who are being, from page one, they're being chased because they've pissed someone off. That storyline goes all the way through. There's a, as well as Captain Greaves, who is spectacular. He is the Star Bastard. He is a complete shitbag. In all the ways that, you know, Marvel like to imagine that Star-Lord is, you know, he's like a cheeky chappy. Imagine that if he was a complete wanker.
It reminded me like of a Dave Cockrum. Do you remember Star Jammers?
Yeah.
It's a bit like that, isn't it?
It's got that sort of energy. And, you know, it's quite... They are literally like space pirates, aren't they? Space mercenaries.
Yeah,
it's
exactly.
That kind of... Yeah. And there's one of the crew... I mean, the main guy is obviously great, but the supporting cast is just as great. And they literally... You can tell that... They put up with his shit and they can't stand him. There's Metal Molly Sims, who's just like a long-suffering sort of female mercenary who has like... She's got these cool robotic arms that really harken back to the sort of stuff they would do in the 80s comics where, like, the arm sort of breaks apart in pieces and becomes, like, weapons and stuff like that. There's Max, who's a pilot, who looks like a robot sort of pirate pilot to begin with. And I thought, oh, yeah, here's the robotic character. The reveal of what he is really surprised me and made me laugh out loud, so I don't want to spoil it. But he's another hard drinker. And then later on, they get another character who's like the doctor of the ship, the scientist and the engineer, someone called Zax 14, who is basically an alien that they meet on a planet, and everyone on this planet is basically made out of methane. They're like, they're all gas, these... And they have
like Twitter then.
Yeah. But, you know, they have a monarchy and it's all their delivery is very much like the sort of Star Trek sort of monarchy delivery you get in this sort of race. But the main characters are like, it fucking stinks here because they all smell like shit. Which keeps going throughout the book as well when one of them becomes part of the crew. The story is, it gets bombastic without being, this is the end of the galaxy kind of stuff. You know, that can get a bit, you know, when stories become too huge, it's nice to have like a more insular kind of just a romp. What a time to use the word romp. I haven't used romp. But it literally is. The action's great. I mean, I got to say, the artwork by Morales is just so on point, so consistent all the way through. The character designs and the facial acting, because this is... It is action comedy. There's lots of both. And when it comes to comedy, your facial acting has to be completely on point. Otherwise, jokes don't land. And considering a lot of the reactions of like the crew are people going, oh, for fuck's sake, he's done it again. That kind of stuff. And it's all just completely spot on. The tone is amazing throughout. This is it. I hope there's going to be more of this book in the future. If not, you've got this beautiful sort of volume to go through. There's six issues of it that you would devour.
And Scout are putting out some work, aren't they? Bloody hell.
Yeah.
It's non-stop with them.
Yeah, they're putting out a lot of good stuff.
This is definitely out as a hard copy, is it, man?
It will be. I think a lot of it is. They do the print books. I will say, when I was looking this up on the website, I should have put this in the shout-outs, actually. They're doing something, and this is probably more for our American listeners, because they are an American company. So, and I'm purely saying that for delivery purposes. We all know what that's like. But you can sign up for the Scout Comics official monthly subscription box. So they have a box that, because they I don't think they're through Diamond, and they're not on Comixology and things like that. So, but they
they're in Forbidden Planets, though.
Are they in Forbidden Planets?
Yeah, I bought the Dracula one a couple of weeks ago. Forbidden Planet in London. Yeah, and that's lovely,
another,
man. Really good.
That's another great book. But each of their subscription boxes it includes up to 12 new comics every month, and it starts at $33.99 subscription, basically.
Oh, I like that. I like that idea.
And that's in dollars. But like I say, there's a couple of titles on Scout Comics where I've been interested in what I've read of one issue, and the digital is pretty decently priced, and the shop's easy to use. So wherever you are in the world, you know, it's cool to shop there. And they, like you say, they're putting out some good stuff. And Star Bastard, you know, I mean, I've mentioned quite a few Scout comics, and I just thought, let's check out Star Bastard. Oh, great, it's another one. And everyone's going to think I'm sponsored by them. Jesus Christ. But I know and Andrew Clempson's, he's a UK writer as well. So
that's right. Yeah, we were looking him up earlier, weren't we?
Yeah, and he's got an upcoming Kickstarter, Bet Noir, which looks great as well. So so who knows? You might hear more from him in the future. We shall see. But you should check out Star Bastard, because I think, you know, the sort of humour that we have on this show, not all the time, because we can be serious.
Sophisticated
people.
You mean?
Yeah, sophisticated, yeah. High class.
Apart from when we got these boys on.
Yeah, our true selves
get right over the top.
Yeah. but this is definitely right up a lot of our listening street. So yeah, Star Bastard, look for it. I'll put a link in the show notes and stuff. But yeah, and just keep hold of, just make a note of these creators as well. Because, you know, it's great comics and fun. Let's say it again. Let's have some fun comics, shall we?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Please. I'm all for that.
Yeah.
Tony?
Mine's quick and dirty, obviously.
as always.
Planet Stories is back. Originally a comic that ran between 1940 and 1953. Don't let this put you off, because it is funny and it's interesting. It's back. Someone at Antarctic Press has resurrected it. Now, the first... Does anyone know the character's name who was in the first 12 issues of Planet Comics? No, his name was Spurt Hammond. That's the best name ever, isn't it?
Excellent.
he was a spaceman in a sort of Buck Rogers sort of thing, and Spurt would travel around the solar system, delivering things and getting put on special missions. He would often come across sexy space ladies. Queen Voluptus of Venus was one of them. Queen Mercer of the Twilight Lands. And he also battled the Lunar Zones, Professor Mortar, and the Mooniacs. So he's a classic, you know, golden age character.
As soon as you said Mooniacs, I was on board.
110%. Man, I want to write a comic with the Mooniacs in.
That's a gang I want to be in.
Yeah, definitely, yeah. So in honour of its 80th anniversary, they decided to bring it back. The Spurt is back. As I say, it's 33 pages. 79p on Comixology, so here you go. Actually three stories in this, but they're okay, the second two stories, but they didn't really light my boat. And this, so I'm just going to deal with the first one, which is written by I think it's Mark Fenton, and art by the mighty Vosberg, Mike Vosberg, if anyone remembers him. He drew Iron Man, Deadly Hands of Kung Fu, Man Wolf, Guardians, Punisher, Star Wars. He drew quite a few G.I. Joes. He did some Nexus, did a load of the original run of Valiant, Archer and Armstrong and Turning Warrior and all that sort of thing. He's class, like brilliant. Love him. I always loved him. And I think that's probably the reason that it really makes the first story. But there's a sense of humour to it. So Spurt lands on a planet. He's got his back, he's like his rocket pack on, and he flies out and he sees a sort of sexy Deja Thoris style princess being chased by a monster. So because he's a hero, we think he is, he intervenes and shoots the monster dead. And the female, who is called Neutrochrome, she's pretty pissed off because she was hoping she was going to fuck the monster. He was called Shadgore.
Oh, I know him.
Yes. Nice. So because her ship is broken, they go to her ship, and obviously she has to have a shower in front of him, so she has a sort of shower and is aware of him watching him, and it gets a bit sexy in that. They get back to Spurt's ship, and he keeps saying, oh, she's perfect, as they're sort of rocking along. And they get back to the ship, and she realises that he's got loads of women in tubes, frozen for his pleasure, put it that way. And it sort of takes off from there. It's good, man. It's very readable. It's, whilst Vosberg is amazing on it, it's got like a little bit of the old school eerie or creepy or maybe Vampirella story to it. But Russell He really turns your head around it. It's clever and it's funny. And there's a little suggestion that it will continue on. Something happens at the end and you think, oh, that's going to continue on. I'm looking forward to that. So it's a bit of a new project from Antarctic Press. I kind of like Antarctic Press. They put out some good books here and there. It's not all brilliant, but
they've been going for many. Enough people sort of... I know there was a lot of sort of anime type titles, weren't there?
Yes.
Certainly.
Look at the covers. They look very anime, a lot of their covers. Yeah. But this is sort of breaks the... It looks a bit like a Jim Starlin alien... Warlock kind of cover to this, which is what attracted to me. I'll be honest with you, I had trouble looking through the new releases and thinking about what I'd talk about, and I went through, I had a few attempts at
that
reading
stuff.
That was
exactly like, you know, I went to the sort of hard drive to see sort of like what PDFs I haven't checked out yet, the to read pile, because the new releases were like, there's not really.
Yeah, that's what I was doing, man. I was desperately trying to find something, hopping about, you know, and looking at stuff, and it was nothing was lighting my fire. Empire didn't really do it for me again this week. I'm sorry to say that, although I did buy it, spent unnecessary amounts of money on it. But the it's good. So I go to Antarctic Press on Comixology, and it's only 79p, and it's a laugh, and it's good stuff. That's my one.
Do you ever read Tech Jacket by Robert Kirkman?
I have, but not for many years, man. Yeah,
It's just you reminded me when you said about the was it Spurt and the Alien Queen and stuff like that. It's the only time I've ever seen a comic do a brilliant job of having a guy from Earth fall in love with like this beautiful alien princess, and it kind of builds up their relationship as it goes through until it comes to them being intimate, and then it's got a whole page where they're like, oh my god, we're two different species, we can't even and I just, that's never ever been brought up before, but they just kind of like, they're like, oh, all right, relationship's over.
Oh no! Yeah. Well, in this one, funny enough, he kills this monster that's chasing her, and she goes, "What did you do that for? He's quite a tender lover." Well, that'd be rubbish, wouldn't it? If you ended up being, you know, John Carter from Mars, you land on Mars, you think, "Oh, all the women here are very sexy," and then you're like, "Oh, different." there's no plug and socket going on here, is there? Yeah.
No.
Just plugs. That'd be the worst.
Yeah. Oh God! Well, there's a lot of the comics to add to your to read pile. Oh dear! And I've got a lot of show notes to do this week, as always. But thank you very much to our guests for joining us this week. It's been fantastic.
Thank you for having us.
Yeah, no worries. It's been great.
It's a nice, easy show because we know what you like. That's good.
Yeah. And it's easy for the guests because they know what we're like.
Yeah.
So, you know.
Sorry, Vince. Yeah, it was Knights versus Pirates.
So, if you look for Pirates versus Knights on
Don't go down that path. Don't go down that
path. Let's start a poll. So, what do you prefer, Jay or Chris? Let us know. You can email us. awesomecomicspod@gmail.com. Likewise for our creative endeavor / competition / just having fun, email us your pitches, well, your synopsis for Walter Geist the Ghost Boy. I still love that name, man. That's such a good name. tony.awesomecomicspod@gmail.com. follow us on Twitter at the awesome pod, where we should be a bit more active on Twitter, really, shouldn't we?
Yeah,
Facebook's really busy at the moment. That's the thing, isn't it?
Yeah, the Facebook community, whether it be on facebook.com/awesomecomicspodcast or the great community group Awesome Comics Talk, that's just full of comic readers, comic creators, comic convention runners, anyone who just wants to talk about comics without the hard sell and all that nonsense. There's a great group of people on there, and that's on the group Awesome Comics Talk on Facebook. So sign up and find us on any of those platforms. And thank you for listening to us, whether it was on the website awesomecomics.podbean.com. If you listen to us on iTunes, subscribe and leave a review, a real review, and and you can also find us on other networks like Spotify, Stitcher, Podnose, Podknife. What other networks are you on, Tony?
We're also on Podcorking.
Ooh.
Oh. Really? I'm sure they're great.
Yeah.
Get to Urban Dictionary and look that one up.
Oh, please don't. Where can people find us online, etc.? Tony?
neveronanything.blogspot.com or tributepress.bigcartel.com for all your not safe for work needs.
I think you should say not safe for work, comic needs.
Oh yeah, comic needs. Well, we do other services.
Well, and the Awesome Comics Pod can neither confirm nor deny that they do. But legally, we do not endorse.
No, I do it.
Speaking of doing it, he does it all the time, and now he's going to tell us about it. Dan, where can people find you?
You can find me on Twitter at Vanguard Comic, and you can read Vanguard at vanguardcomic.com.
This story. Ooh, Dan, what are you doing, man? Although, there was that character that is in the tube that's got, like, had, like, attachments to their junk. How did you find drawing that panel?
Quite natural, really. Just took some of the gear I use. And...
Oh, right, that's all right.
Your silver-coloured fleshlight.
It's just one of those things. I only thought about it when I was actually doing it. I was like, oh, shit, I'm going to have something attached to his junk.
And yeah. I mean, it's proper Red Hot Chili Peppers sock moment, that is. I mean, it's... Shout out to anyone who knows what I'm talking about there.
Yeah. If you've got a naked dude floating in the tank, you need something to take his...
Yeah. Yeah. There's only so much a bubble can do, isn't there? Yeah. You know?
And that's going to be the name of this week's episode. Naked dude, yeah. But floating in a tank.
versus
pirates.
Pirates?
Pirates. They're only good when they're
coming up
nice.
With better titles.
Yeah. Anyway, you can find my waffling and artwork, etc. on Twitter and Instagram at Jester Diablo. And our lovely, lovely guests, where can they find you? Jay, my good man.
So all the comic stuff is mainly Facebook at the minute, and that's YWJ Entertainment, or it is Jay Izzo on Twitter and on Instagram, but that's just me mainly moaning about the world and life.
Christoph.
You can find me as Art of Chris Imber on Instagram or Reckless Hero HQ on Instagram, Reckless Hero HQ on Twitter or Reckless_Imber on Twitter, and Facebook I think is Reckless Hero HQ. Or we have lots for sale at recklesshero.com.
There you go. It's almost like he had it written down.
That was all pure memory, and it was beautiful.
Actually, I believe it, because you've been at enough conventions to know that you're gonna. You must have had to say that to so many people.
Did it come off as robotic?
Yeah.
What?
No.
Welcome.
Yeah.
You are to be honest with you,
they've done their promotion. They want to go now. What are you doing?
No. There's Knights versus Pirates on Kickstarter.
You shameless whore. And that's how we treat our guests on this show. So thank you very much for listening, everyone. Have a great week. Stay safe and healthy, no matter where you are and what you're doing. And we hope you're okay, because we all love you. Because you listened to this for fucking 2 hours, so you're a fucking angel. And yes, read loads of comics. Stay safe, stay healthy. From Dan, Tony, Jay, Chris, and myself, have a brilliant week. And as always, this is going to be good. This is going to be a chorus. What do they do, guys?
Stay awesome.
Stay awesome.
Stay awesome.
My balls are really sweaty.
Why? From the effort you just put in?
Yeah, that was the anticipation.
Yeah, I know. Anyway, bye, everyone.
Bye.
See you later.
Bye.
'When your mic comes back on, Dan, then I'm going to go. This is tense. This is exciting.
Oh, what's happening?
This is like an ITV telethon in the 80s. or the classic You Bet. That was tension, wasn't it?
Oh, I love You Bet.
Fucking You Bet was great, wasn't it? Saturday nights were the best, man.
Screw the book. I can't. Let's talk about You Bet.
How many light bulbs will he eat in a minute? Yeah, come on.
I saw one. No word of a lie. I saw one where two German dudes could identify any Tina Turner song by the way the speaker moved a candle flame.
That's brilliant.
Fucking hell. We think we've got too much time to hands. Right.
I say it now. We are going to get that load. At conventions, we're going to get... You should do ninjas next. It's going to be the favourite line.
Yeah.
And you should reply with, I'm samurais. Too busy doing your mum.
Yeah.
How about knights versus your mum's anal?
Why the last word? You don't need to add anal to it.
I add anal to everything.
Yeah, that's true. You do add it to everything.
It's got to be filthy.
You should read his scripts for Monster Spotters Club.
It's a kid's comic. Stop putting anal in it.
Yeah.
And it's been we appreciate the support behind it and everything. It's been amazing. Thank you.
Yeah.
Should have been sincere on the show. That would have gone far. Oh, well, never mind.
I give as good as I get.